This is Spirit Network Radio, a PBS radio production hosted by renowned clairvoyant medium Francine Milano. Spirit Network is committed to the dawning age of enlightenment, from the psychic to the holistic. If it's on the mind, body, and spirit, it's on Spirit Network.
Hello, and welcome to Spirit Network. I'm your host, Francine Milano, and I look forward to spending the next hour with you. Today, we're going to talk about animal spirits and with my special guest, Jackie LeBeau. Before I talk to Jackie, however, let me tell you a little bit about our sponsor. In honor of the topic today, sponsorship of this episode is donated to Farm Sanctuary. Many of you know already that I live in the farmlands of Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. I am very blessed to get organic veggies and eggs right from my Amish neighbors. Their chickens simply run around the yard all day having fun in the sun. The eggs we buy at the store, those chickens live in little crates, and they really don't have any life. And the sad part is, after only 2 years, they are considered spent, and then an exterminator comes in to gas the whole lot. I know, it's true, my friend. Why are these things legal? I don't know, but there are good people out there who care. Farm Sanctuary, Inc. has shelters in New York and California, and they recently took in 700 laying hens, literally saving them from the gas chamber. After the show, I want you to go to farmsanctuary.org and see all of the farm animals they've rescued and all the great work they do. For cows, pigs, everything else that old McDonald threw away. It's no less important than any other animal shelter would be for dogs and cats, so please go and support their efforts. And I will tell you a little bit more about that and about farmsanctuary.org at the end of the show. My guest today is Jackie LeBeau. She's a psychic medium and an animal communicator. She's going to share with us some information about our pets and animal spirits, her work, and she'll be taking your calls live. So that's the special little perk today. If you have a living pet or even one on the other side that you're missing, Jackie is offering live pet readings today. So call the studio line toll free at 888-627-6008. Or email your animal questions to radio@spiritnetwork.com. Jackie, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Francine. I'm so thrilled to be here this evening.
Well, I am so glad that you were able to make today. And what I want to talk about first is how you actually got here as a psychic medium. I mean, when did you know your gift was opening up, and how did you develop it?
Okay, well, now you're asking about the animal communication side of things or the psychic medium side of things?
Oh, two different stories. Well, you choose.
Yes. It is two different stories.
Well, what came first? I mean, just as
well,
a medium?
Well, actually, the medium stuff came first, but they sort of developed simultaneously. I always kid that it's sort of like you're on this path and it's like two lanes.
Ah,
and for me, that's what it was. And my mediumship came first. It really opened up when my grandmother passed, and I started talking to her, and she started talking back. So, and then, you know, I had an instance where I actually saw her. So it was, at that point, I just couldn't ignore what was happening anymore.
Wow, how old were you when that happened? How old were you at that time?
I was 13.
Ah, I was asking that because that's really kind of when I started opening up, you know, but
same
I wanted
thing.
To see if this was a childhood, like imaginary friend kind of thing, but you go ahead,
no.
I'm sorry.
By the time you're 13, well, I wasn't doing that anymore, so, but this was different, but, and then it sort of lay dormant for a long time, and then I had dogs, and we were getting dogs, and what happened for us is that we had adopted a dog that had been abused, and he was like a year old, and it was a Great Pyrenees named Bear. And what we didn't realize is through all of that, he also developed separation anxiety. So every time we would leave our house, he would pull down anything that was on a table, anything that was on the kitchen counters.
Oh, wow.
You know, it was just like, you know, and of course things broke, but he wasn't really trying to destroy anything. He was just totally distraught that we were leaving. And we know part of that was that when he sort of got dumped back at the breeder, he also was separated from the joy of his life, was this little six-year-old boy. And, you know, we knew he was very distraught about that. So we had this whole thing, and we had tried everything, and it sort of looked like we were moving at our house because there was nothing, you know, sitting around anymore. But I didn't know what else to do, and finally I discovered animal communication, and I said to my husband, well, let's try that. And when we did, we actually talked with a communicator. This was my first experience with animal communication for Bear, and she was in Nevada. And my husband, who is an engineer and computer guy, you know, sort of rolled his eyes and said, I don't know how this is going to work. And I just said, honey, let's just go with it for Bear. I said, we got to try something. So he prepared his test questions, as
well,
only
like
an engineer can
approach,
do.
Of course.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
So he had all these special questions, and the one, his first question, this was like in his mind, this was the killer question. He asked this woman to ask Bear where he drank water. Because, as you can imagine, Bear didn't drink water in the usual place. That would be too easy. So instead of his water bowl, we had a waterfall and pool that my husband had built, you know, in our yard. And Bear insisted on always going outside and drinking at the waterfall. So, sure enough, so he says, ask Bear where he drinks. And Bear describes to this woman, you know, the woods. And she's saying, well, he's showing me this thing. It's like a chute with water coming down. And she says, I don't know. It's like cement or something. And then it's in this little pool. And, like, so he was describing almost exactly what our waterfall looked like. So at that point, I looked at my husband. You know, we're sitting there, you know, on the speakerphone. And I was like, okay, are we done with the test questions?
Yeah.
So anyway, we were able then to work with her and work with Bear and ask him what he needed to feel comfortable, you know, when we left, you know, to know that we were coming home and that he could work with that. And also, he was terrified of men. He was terrified of men. So besides my husband, there was only really one other man that he would get close to. And so the poor thing, and that took years and years and years until he was able to feel comfortable with men. And he wanted so much to come up to them, but he was just afraid.
I think about
children, you know, who have been abused and what they go through.
Sure.
You know, and it's the same, same with animals. It's
very
like
much so. Well, I find your work with animals fascinating. I mean, although they often come to me in readings for myself, but I can't say that I've ever offered a pet reading per se before. So you communicate with animals who are living as well as those on the other side, correct?
Yes, that's correct. Absolutely.
Tell me how people or why people contact you. I mean, what's the most popular way that they use animal communication? Like, how do you help them with their pets?
Well, there's a number of different reasons. Believe it or not, there's quite a few people that just get in touch with me because they just want to talk to them. They just want to ask them, you know, if they like what they're doing for them, if they like their food, do they like their new bed, do they understand that they're going away on vacation, and, you know, and they're just simple things like, you know, is there anything else I can get you, you know, they just want to talk to them.
I can totally understand that, yes.
Yeah, because, you know, it's like you've always wanted to. But a lot of the times, you know, I get people that are having behavior issues, you know, with animals. And a lot of times it's dogs that are maybe being destructive, or it's cats, I always kid about this one because I say this is the one I hate the most, the cat peeing where it's not supposed to pee question.
Yeah, okay.
All right, so I was like, and I'm not a cat person, but, you know, and the truth is, they're not really vindictive, although cats can be with that.
Yeah, oh, I'm sure. I think all animals have that potential. Ask my
well,
dog.
But, you know, it's not as much as you might think, you know, Francine. They really, they're, most of the time, even the cats, there's a reason that they do that. You know, and they'll explain. And a lot of times it's a misunderstanding, or they're trying to show you something, or they're trying to signal something. But they actually have a reason, and I have yet to talk to one that it was just vindictive. It was just vindictive. So it's very interesting. So there's that. There's also help with training issues. You know, dogs that do agility and things like that, and they need a little help with that and helping them understand what they're supposed to be doing and how they act with that. It's people who are thinking about adding another pet to the family. So they're either getting another dog and they want to know how the dogs are going to get along or if it wants another dog in the family.
Well, I imagine that's a big one.
Yeah,
that would
it can
be.
Be.
You'd get
it
a lot
can
of those.
Be. Because, you know, and you know, and particularly with cats, because cats are sometimes harder on siblings than dogs. You know, sometimes, you know, they'll sort of take them into the pack. But, you know, cats have their space.
Right.
And, you know, they look at newcomers as intruders, and that can be difficult. But I think it's so nice that if somebody's thinking about that, they actually take the time to ask the animal. You know, because a lot of people say, particularly dog owners, I've gotten this a few times, that, well, they feel bad because they're leaving all day and this dog's home alone, and they think they, you know, they're going to get in another dog. So, unfortunately, that doesn't take the place of human companionship.
Right.
Some dogs love that, and it does give them some companionship. And other dogs don't want another dog in the family. You know, mm-hmm. This is like they are more, you know, this is their family, and they're not looking for somebody else to share the family with. And so, you know, so it's nice when they ask a dog, you know, would you like to have somebody? Would that make you feel better or not? You know, and then they get an answer. So I get that a lot of times. I get questions about health. And I'll say right now, right up front, that I am not a veterinarian, and I don't diagnose health concerns. But what I try to do is work with the animal to give their veterinarian some responses and some information that they might be able to use to help the animal.
Right, to look for the actual ailment.
You know? Yeah, exactly. And particularly if they're in treatment for something, you know, how does the animal feel? Is it feeling better? You know, is that
right.
working? You know, or so yeah. There's a lot of questions that can be helpful, you know, for the veterinarian yeah. or other health provider, you know, for their pet. So I get a lot of that. I get a lot of calls with people who have had rescue animals and just helping them to get adjusted to their new home.
I imagine a lot of them want to know what the animal's past is as well. You know, because some of them don't come with the history.
And that's interesting, Francine, because, you know, they do. And it's so funny because I've actually had a dog say, I don't want to talk about that. And, you know, you have to respect that.
Yeah, just let's move on, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, but some of that. But, see, animals live in the present moment. So bless them. Don't we wish we could do that more often?
That would be
but
nice.
Do.
Yes, just let it go and move forward. I understand that.
They
but,
live
you know,
in the present moment, and they don't want to get
to deal with.
They don't want to get dragged back through that.
Right.
So it is interesting, and I've actually had animals that say, you know, I'm not going to talk about that. So as curious as we are, you know, sometimes they'll tell you, but sometimes. They don't want to go there. They really don't. So.
Right. So does that communication actually work both ways? I mean, do you just get information from them, ask them questions, or is there a real exchange of dialogue? Like, what if the client wants to let their pet know something? You know, can you bring that, you know, that dialogue going that way? so that the animal understands what the pet wanted, or what the animal understands what the owner actually wanted to convey to them.
Yeah, I can. Now, I always tell them, you know, that their pet understands what they're saying.
Yeah, so but they don't how about that me. Vacation? You know, like, please tell him I'll be back in, you know, 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And I didn't abandon him.
You can do that. You know what? You just did it. That's what they'll say to me.
Right.
Please tell them I'll be back. And I say, well, you just did. But,
yeah.
You know, I'll say it again if you want.
That happens with me too at the table. Yeah, I get that. But you know, the fact is, like, my dog goes nuts if I even let her see the suitcase.
Oh,
you know,
yeah,
I mean,
know.
I have to do everything on the sly, you know.
Yeah. Well, and it's not really on the sly because they know.
Yeah, they do. Do you ever help clients find lost pets?
I do, and in fact, I just did. We just we had and but the, I'm going to say right up front, that's not my specialty, but I do what I can, and I was able this weekend to work with a family who had a black Great Dane who had gotten out of their fenced enclosure while they were at work, and they were able to, there were two dogs that got out, and they got the one, and they heard this commotion, and it was about a quarter mile down the road, and they got down there, and they said, oh my God, somebody had just hit a black dog. Well, of course, it was their Great Dane. And they said what happened is they thought the dog maybe had been killed because it was down, it wasn't moving, and they went into the house to call the police because they didn't know what to do. They're like, oh my gosh, what do we do now? And when they came back out, the dog sat up and bolted. And they're out in the country, so it was totally surrounded by cornfields, waist-high soybean woods.
Talk about
and
panic.
Now, yeah, oh my God, so now it's 9 o'clock. So now this dog, who had just been hit by the car, is out there. So, so they did get in touch with me, and I was able to let them know that, number one, you know, the dog had bolted, but was no longer moving. So I think it's just, if you've ever seen that with a, like a deer that's got hit, you know, they're down, but then, and they jump up. And they have that adrenaline rush, you know, that gives them enough to get going. So nobody had seen what the red dog was. So I was able to give them information about what the dog was seeing from where it was, and that's how you do it. You know, in a lot of instances when they're just lost, you can get directions, excuse me, or, you know, which way they went towards a house or they went towards this. You know, you can have them show you what they're seeing. So the dog was able to show me that he was in the cornfield but also near the woods, and he was laying on dirt. You know, so he wasn't in, you know, like a grassy area. He was in the dirt. He was, you know, right next to the corn, not right next to the woods, and that his whole left side was out. So he wasn't able to move. So, and then at one point they were doing things where they were trying to whistle and stuff to see if he could hear the whistle. And I could say, you know, whether or not he heard the whistle. Yeah, he heard the whistle. So they were trying to narrow it down. And they were lucky enough to get in touch with some people who do tracking. And they had this Dutch tracker that finally was able to narrow down the exact area that they thought the dog was in. You know, because, of course, if you've seen cornfields, I don't know. I mean, I know you have, Francine. I mean, there's just no way.
I'm looking at one right now out the window.
Yeah. There's no way. You know, I mean, my gosh, it's above our heads now.
Especially this time of year. I mean, they're...
Yeah. So the tracker was able to narrow it down, and then they brought in one of their other dogs who was able to find the dog. And she told me, and I was so happy to hear that because I've been worrying about this dog for all these days now. I think this happened Thursday night, and this was just last night that they finally, you know, found her. But so it was very gratifying
for me.
Well, you know, she's going to be okay.
Yeah.
You know, she's going to have, you know, she was hit, and there's things that need to be done, and, of course, she was dehydrated and stuff. But it was wonderful to have a great ending to that story. But, you know, and that is not my forte. I'll say that right up front, lost dogs. And there's a lot of animal communicators that do not do lost animals because it's very, very difficult.
Good to know.
Yeah.
Well, Jackie is going to take your calls to the listeners in a few minutes at 888-627-6008. But I got to tell you, one of the perks of being this host is I get to go first. So I actually have a question for you. I'm certainly going to take advantage of your being here today. You didn't think I wasn't. I have lots of pets, but there's one I'm a little bit concerned about. Okay, I want to talk to you about a young male feral cat that I did a TNR on, which is trapped, neutered, and returned. And I was quite certain that his family outcasted him or something happened, because one day he was the only one of the lot that I've seen in the area. So I worked with him for many months to come from underneath my car and actually eat on the porch. And now I've kind of got him semi-domesticated, where he'll come in to the house for a quick cuddle, but he doesn't stay at all. You know, I would love to have a house cat, but I have to respect that that's what he wants. You know, he really would prefer just to live on the porch. And he actually, when I let him out, he sometimes wants me to come out with him. He just like looks like, okay, well, aren't you coming out here? So he'd rather me be on the porch than him be in the house. But obviously, I just can't live on the porch. So his name, you know, I mean, that would be kind of nice, you know, but his name is Shiloh.
He was
named after a town in New Jersey, and that was a whole different story. We had found a cat there one time that just looked just like him. And he's a gray tabby, and he's about 2 years old. And my main concern is this. We are planning to move next spring, and I'm really concerned about relocating him. I mean, all the rule books say, you know, never relocate, but I feel like he's partly domesticated. But at some point, even if I put him in the new house for like maybe a week or two and get him used to the area, you know, and introduce him to the outside, I'm concerned that, you know, I've heard the horror stories is that people just never see them again. And he doesn't have anybody as far as I know. So can you shed any light on, like, would he be comfortable in that, or can you let him know that, you know, to just continue to trust us?
And when are you planning this move? Fancy?
This would probably be about April, May of next year.
Okay, April, May of this coming year. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, you know, he's sort of tied to the land.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, and so he's sort of saying, I don't know about that.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure he'd prefer not. But my concern is this, you know, I don't think the new owners of this house would be all that happy with him laying around on their porch furniture.
Yeah.
That could end up being a problem unless I only sell to cat people, which I would do. I would do. I would give him up just so that he would be happy and comfortable, but I just don't see it. You know, I could manifest it. I'll make a vision board. I'll do what I need to do. But do you think that that is a possibility to make it work?
How far away are you moving, Francine?
We would stay in the area. That's my other concern, is if we lose him, we could probably come back and find him here.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So let's just ask him how he feels about moving. All right. He's saying he would consider it. So that wasn't a yes. Okay.
Obviously, I did the neutering. He still came back, so I'm kind of hoping.
Yeah.
After a little snip, he still loves me, so I'm hoping that he'll make concession. Okay. So, well,
Francine. He's connected to the outside, but he's very connected to you.
I believe that. Yeah. I mean, I feel like he ended up adopting me, and I think feral cats do that. You know,
right.
But
you're what he said is you're his person.
Yes. And Larry's become his person too. My husband, even though he said, that cat, you're always with that cat outside, you know, while I was really working with him, and all of a sudden he's like, I love my cat. Where's my cat?
I can
so
see
that. So
that's
his person too. You know, but I think what'll happen is that when the time comes closer, I will give you a call for a regular private reading, and we can get an update on that, okay?
Yeah. Are you building, Francine, or buying?
No, we're going to buy. You feel something?
Well, what I was going to say is there, if there's something from the new house that you can bring over to let Shiloh smell.
Like the porch furniture, probably.
Yeah, just something that, you know, that you can say, this is where we're going.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and if you can then let him know that you're going to be taking the things that he's familiar with there.
Right, okay.
Okay, so that there's little pieces that he knows. And the best thing for you to do, Francine, is show him the pictures in your mind. You know, so number one, I would show him a map of how to get to the new house from here.
Oh.
And I would show him what the house looks like.
Like to actually show him a picture of it.
Yeah, but in your mind, because animals speak in pictures.
Well, I'll do both, though. I'll show it to him. I'll post it
I'll put
it right next to the porch furniture, a picture of it.
Yeah, look at the picture and show him that so he sees where it's going. And also give him the countdown. So this is like actually perfect timing, Francine, to actually tell him when this is going to happen, how many months, and, you know, sort of count down. So as you get closer, you know, we say, okay, we have, you know, 4 more months to go, and, you know, and tell him how excited you are to be, you know, moving into this new home, and you would like him to come along.
Wonderful, wonderful. Okay, thank you so much. I'd actually feel better about those little exercises. So, and what we're going to do is, I know we have another caller, a real caller, I should say, on line 3.
You're a real caller. All animals are important.
All animals are part. Yeah, that's right. That's right. So I'm going to ask Doug to just go ahead and flip on line 3, I believe, and let's see who's on the line. Hello, caller.
Hello.
Hello. Hi. What's your name?
Hi, my name is Lou.
Lou, and where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Belmar, New Jersey.
Tell me, what's your question for Jackie?
Hi, Jackie. My question is, I've had a few pets over the years that have crossed over, and I was wondering if anybody was coming through for me, anybody wanted to give me a message?
All right. Lou and Francine, I'm having a little trouble understanding that. Francine, can you repeat that for me?
Okay, and Doug, I'm sure you're listening. The engineer will help. So Lou has had a few animals that have crossed over, and he would like to know if there are any pets or anybody coming through that would like to talk to him.
Okay. All right, Lou, let me see if I can pull somebody in here. Let's see who's around. Okay, well, I'm seeing a smaller pet, and it looks like a cat. Lou, have you had cats?
Yes, I have.
Okay. All right. This is a dark-colored cat.
Okay.
Have you had, like, it has a lot of, like, it's either dark gray or black?
Okay. I've had Siamese over the years, but I've never had a black cat.
You had a black cat?
I've had an orange cat, yeah.
He did not have a black cat.
He did not have a black cat.
No, he had a Siamese cat.
Oh, a Siamese. Huh. Okay. Well, you know, this cat was definitely was showing me, you know, dark color. So, I'm sure it was not one of the gold ones. So it could have been your Siamese. All right.
Okay.
And but this one is sort of crouching beside you. Is this a cat? But it also feels a little I know maybe what cat isn't, but it feels a little skittish to me. like it would run away a lot, like really fast. Would your Siamese do that?
Not really. I do have a dark-colored cat that's, you know, living right now that is kind of like that, and he's a snowshoe. He's almost, you know, partially Siamese.
Are you able to hear
that? Okay, because, you know, that's what I'm seeing. It's like, you know, it's like for almost like no reason, you know, but this cat is like, you know, just like takes off really fast. So so that's what I'm getting, Lou. But you actually, I'm seeing a lot of animals around you. So you've had a lot of animals in your lifetime, haven't you?
I have, yes.
Was that a yes?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I've had a lot of animals, absolutely.
Okay. Okay. So, and I see that you will always have animals in your life. How many do you have right now?
Right now we have four cats, but my wife and I do rescue. So we have like an extended family as well.
Lou, can I just interrupt for a second? We need you to just back off the mouthpiece just a little bit, because the reason that you're turned down a little bit for Jackie is because the system's like picking up a lot of feedback and everything.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. That's okay.
Yeah.
And then we could turn the volume up a little bit. So go ahead. And I'm sorry to interrupt.
Okay, yeah. We have four cats right now, but my wife and I also do rescue, so we have what we would consider an extended family as well.
Okay, bless you for that. Because, you know, I can see there's a lot around you. So, you know, and you have cats in spirit that are helping you with so are you almost like fostering with these rescue cats?
My wife and I help at a local shelter, and occasionally we do transport as well.
But, okay.
You know, all the kitties that we have right now, our four kitties that live with us, are all rescue cats.
Okay. All right. Well, know that you get help with them from the other side, because you definitely have this strong, strong animal aura around you. It's really quite lovely.
Oh, thank you. It's great.
Thank you for calling,
Lou. Well, thanks for all the great work you do with the cats. That's just so wonderful.
Great. Thank you very much, Jackie.
Right. Take care.
Yeah, thanks for calling, Lou.
Jackie, I think our pets talk to us all the time, and I'm sure that they do. And some people might be more receptive than others. Are there any tips that you could offer us on how to hone in on the messages that our own pets are sending to us?
Okay. Well, the first and easiest, or maybe not, is to trust what you get.
Sure.
Because if you think you got something, that you did. And I know that sounds, you know, like, well, how do you know? But it is really just a matter of trust. Another thing that you can do that's more concrete is to practice with them. Because like I mentioned a little while ago, animals talk in pictures.
Mm-hmm.
So you can send them pictures and have them send you pictures. And one easy way to practice with them is, if you're not in the same room with them, ask them, you know, what they're doing and where they are, and have them send you pictures. So they may send you a picture that they are curled up, you know, on the pillow in your bedroom. And then get up from where you are, go through your house, and find where they are, and see if the picture that you got is actually what's going on with them. So
I love
sort of
that
like
idea.
A mini way to test what you're getting. So the other thing too is to just say to them too, like you're going to show them something. And, you know, particularly like, you know, you can do that all the time. Well, you can do it with any animal. But, you know, show them a particular toy in your mind and tell them to get that toy, you know, and then see, watch where they go.
Well, that's,
you know,
a whole other question I have about,
you know,
why my dog,
see if you
after 11 years, my dog won't play fetch. So that won't work for me.
What did you say, Francine?
Sorry?
What did you say, that would work for you?
I said that wouldn't work for me because I haven't not in 11 years been able to get my dog to play fetch. So But we could definitely try that.
Yeah,
that
but
picture.
Not even fetch, but isn't there something that, is it a he?
She, but you know what?
She.
I'm going to actually not going to hog the whole floor with all my pets, but we're definitely going to talk about her. If we have time, we will, okay? But
okay.
In the meantime, I do want to take
something that still is something that she really loves.
Sorry, say it again.
She probably has a toy, even if it's not fetch, that she really loves, you know, that she can show you. But she never picks anything up and carries it around?
You know, she will chase what you throw, and then she stands there and like, okay, now come and get it and throw it again. We play
well,
mommy fetch.
Well, she's training you, Francine.
Yes, we play mommy fetch. Yes, I know the game very well. But, you know, but she does have some favorite toys, so it's not like
we can't
say, do that.
I am so well-trained. Yeah. I'm the most well-trained mom I know.
Yes, she's trained me very well. So what I want to do is we have another caller, and we have Lisa on line one. So, Lisa, hello, and what is your question?
Hi, Lisa.
Hi. Hi, how are you today?
Good. How are you doing?
Really good. I have a question about my dog, Roxy. She's a sweet, awesome little pit bull mix, and no matter what I do, I can't seem to get her to stop going potty in the house.
Okay.
And I know she knows I don't like it. I don't punish her, but I do scold and ask her to go potty outside. And I don't know what the problem is. What can I do to help her to not do that anymore?
Okay. All right. Lisa, have you had Roxy since she was a puppy?
No, she was actually thrown out of a moving vehicle on a freeway.
Oh, my God.
And, yeah, poor baby. And she has terrible separation anxiety as well. But my biggest problem is the potty in the house. So, yes, we did get her as a rescue pup, and we've had her since she was, I'm guessing, 4 months old.
You've had her since when, Roxy? Or since when, Lisa?
She was about 4 months old, and she's about 4 years old now.
Okay, all right. So you've had her since she was very, very young, and she's never been able to learn this thing to go out, right?
Correct.
Okay. So, and you've tried all the obvious things of as soon as she's done eating, you take her right out. You take her right out when she first wakes up in the morning and all the usual stuff, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. All right.
What
so
kind of dog is Roxy?
She is a pit bull mix.
Okay, so she's a larger dog. Okay, so that makes a larger mess, I'm sure.
Yes, a much larger mess. She's about 65 pounds, and cleaning up after her is a daily, daily chore.
Yeah, and just let me ask you, is it... is it related to any events that you've noticed, Lisa? Like when you, is it like an anxiousness or like greeting people? Is it anything like that?
No. She will, we will take her out to go potty and then go to bed and wake up in the morning to a mess.
Okay.
Or we will go out of the house to do some grocery shopping and come home to a mess. After she's been taken out before we left. Just all sorts of, she'll wait until we're not looking or not watching her, and then she'll make a mess.
Okay, so rather than come tell you she has to go out, she just goes off and does it.
Yes.
Okay. All right, let's just
and
check
when
in.
And when I see her go potty outside, I praise her. Tell her what a good dog she is. Thank you for going potty outside. What a good girl. And that just makes her so happy, but it still doesn't seem to prevent her from doing it indoors.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's see if she knows what's going on.
Okay.
All Okay. So one thing she's saying is, I just can't hold it. I just can't hold it. So I'm just going to ask right there, is there anything with the bladder? You know, has the vet checked her for anything with the bladder?
No, she hasn't been checked, but she does both messes. She will leave piles as well as puddles.
All right.
But
so
she never has been checked for a bladder issue.
All right. But that was the first thing she said to me. I just can't hold it. I just can't hold it. And it was sort of anxious. Like if if she was a person, I would say she's like crossing her legs.
Okay.
You know, that kind of anxious. And she's sort of like she's like sort of standing there and going back and forth with her legs, you know, that she can't do that. So that is one thing she's just having. You know, there's something going on that she just feels like she can't do that. So let me just see if there's anything else that she can tell us.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. So part of it, too, Lisa, is the separation anxiety.
Okay.
She gets very, very upset when you leave. And then when she gets herself upset, that makes her have to go. You know, so it's like a nervous reaction.
Okay.
Is part of it. So I'm asking her, so how does that explain the overnight thing?
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, you know. Right, you know, because I'm thinking, all right, that makes sense for going away, but that doesn't make sense overnight.
Wake up in the morning, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. So.
Get anything else about the dog?
Yeah, she's just acting like. Like, she doesn't get it, you know, which, you know, and I have to believe she's a pretty bright dog. How do you feel about, you know, does she seem bright to you too, Lisa?
Yes, yes, she's a very smart dog, very...
Yeah, that's what I'm getting too, so I don't understand why she doesn't get it. And I think, I'm thinking this is part of the reason that she was thrown out of the car, you know, because she was, they could not house train her. They could not house train her.
You're going to need a full reading with Jackie. I can see that. It sounds like you need to really pull out her history and everything, which I know the dogs, maybe they don't want to talk about, like you said, but it might help her understand a little bit more.
I know. I can hear that, Lisa, so... You know, and she knows that. She is still nervous, though, you know. And I guess, again, it's like what we talked about when Francine and I were talking earlier. It's like, I mean, these poor dogs, I mean, talk about the trauma of that. You know, one thing I'm going to recommend to you, Lisa, and, you know, it can work for animals as well, and people don't think of it sometimes, but have you ever heard of EFT or tapping?
Yes, tapping. I've heard of tapping.
Okay. All right, so I'm going to suggest that you look into that, you know, for using that with dogs. And I know that there was something recently, Nick Ortner, one of the main people in that movement, did this whole online stuff, and one of the things he had was somebody who works with animals with that, with the tapping. And I think that they can show you the tapping points for the animals, but it's also that would help you get to the, through the trauma that poor Roxy has gone through and to get that out of her system. And it could
be
a big opening for you here with getting through with this house training issue.
And where are you located, Lisa?
I'm in Seattle, Washington.
Oh, okay. All right.
Okay.
Didn't know if we had a resource for you or not, but go online and maybe you can contact Jackie after the show for a little bit more information.
Yeah, and look for that, Lisa, for EFT for animals. because
right, thank you for calling,
you know,
Lisa.
Somehow you've got to get past this emotion baggage, you know, that she's holding on to, and find out, you know, get past that trauma. And that EFT has done miraculous things for veterans who have come back from the war. You know, those poor kids and that whole thing up in Connecticut. I mean, they've done such wonderful work with people who have lived through trauma. I think this could really be a big help for you and Roxy.
Thanks for calling, Lisa. And good luck with Roxy.
Yeah, good luck with her. She's such a cutie.
Jackie, we have the lines are just lit up. I don't know that we're going to get to everybody, and I still have a couple emails I want to look at. But if for those who can't get through at the end of the show, how would they you do phone consultations all over. It's not just in person in Pennsylvania, right?
Yeah, actually, I very rarely do animal communication in person. So,
okay.
And because, like we've talked about, well, we didn't really get to that, but maybe when we get done here, we'll talk a little bit about what animal communication is.
I don't know
that
we're going to actually get to that, to be honest
so
with you, but we're going to try, okay?
If they're
make
interested,
my best effort. What I'm
going
to ask you to do is
website.
Give them your contact information
it's
so that they know how to get in
and
touch with you for real readings.
For you,
you know, well, not that your readings are fake, but you know what I mean.
QUILEBEAU.com, JackieLeBeau.com, or you can call my office at 717-968-5289. Okay? You can also find me on Facebook. It's at facebook.com/JackieLeBeau Psychic Medium. So you can also reach me through Facebook, too. So,
wonderful. Because
maybe we can hook up.
Definitely, Jackie is definitely worth a long reading, you know, a full length reading, of course. But I want to go over to the mailbag. Now, I know that this is something a little bit new to you, but we did get a couple questions. I just want to run by you, and you'll see what you can do with them, okay?
Okay.
Nancy from Gettysburg, PA writes, I gave my most awesome horse, Gila Bend, away in 2001. He went to a young girl who had space for him. He was a bay thoroughbred. I saved from being put to sleep, but I couldn't afford to keep him as I lost my job and was barely hanging on to my home. I have lost touch with the people who took him, and he would be 25 now. Can you tell me if he's still alive? Is he okay? Was it a good home? I miss him a lot. Thank you.
Okay, and Francine, what was the horse's name again?
Gilaben, G-I-L-A-B-E-N-D.
Okay, Gila Bend. Okay.
Yeah, but pronounce Gila Bend with an H.
Okay. All right. So she's trying to just touch base and see if
did he have a good life, and is he on the other side now, and did he have a good life?
Okay. All right. And he was. His new home was with a young girl, right?
Yes, who had a place for him.
Yeah. Okay. All right, so let's just get a feel for where he is. Okay. All right, well, I'm going to tell you that he is no longer physical, but he is in a very good spot, and he is full of joy and full of life, so I don't know if that was his personality here, but it feels that way to me, that this was a horse full of love, and he actually very much enjoyed the home that he went to. The young girl loved him to pieces, and he spent an awful lot of time with her, and she spent a lot of time with him. So I know that's not always the case in with horses, you know, because sometimes,
yeah,
you know, they have owners that just come and visit, you know, sometimes. But they spent an awful lot of time together.
Oh,
and
that's great to know. I'm sure she makes her feel good.
Yeah. So I think, you know, she found him a good home, and he's sending her love and thanks for still thinking of him. And that's sweet.
Oh, that's very
so
nice.
Wonderful.
Well, thank you.
So good. I hope that makes you feel better.
Let me give you another one from the mailbag. We have a few of them, but I'm just going to be able to give you the ones that came. I'll give them to you as they came in, okay? Susan from Wakefield, North Carolina writes, I have a seizure dog who's 10 years old. His name is Harley, and he's a 23-pound Shih Tzu. He'll be 11 in November. During thunderstorm, he began pacing, scratching rugs and the floor and trying to hide. I'm trying everything to calm him down. Nothing is working. My question is the concern about what might be causing this anxiety. I even went to the vet. He's on my lap as I'm holding him while I'm typing this. Can you be of any assistance there?
Okay, and this was thunderstorms, right, Francine?
Well, he's I'm sure there's probably more than thunderstorms, but she's giving an example of, and we know that this is typical of a lot of dogs, but during a thunderstorm, he begins pacing and scratching rugs in the floor and trying to hide. He's a 23-pound Shih Tzu, and his name is Harley.
Right. All right, but she didn't say whether this is just storm-related or he does this for other things, right?
Well, that's true, but if she's holding him and typing at that time she's emailing, you know, I don't know whether there was a thunderstorm at that time or he just has a lot of anxiety in general.
Yeah. All right, because what this feels like to me is that this is, and I don't know because it is hard when you can't talk to the person, if Susan's listening, this feels more storm-related. And for him, and a lot of times when it is storm-related, you could have no problem with storms when you're younger. And as, you know, so I just have this sense that it's as he has gotten older, you know, that this has come on and it's getting worse.
And that's true of people, too. I mean, we grow into our anxieties, don't we?
Yeah, absolutely. And the other thing for him is he's very sensitive to the change in the pressure, the air pressure with the storm, very sensitive to that. And also the electrical energy. So, you know, I'm going to say that, you know, he can feel this coming, you know, even like before she knows, like the storm is coming, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So the best thing that she can do, you know, for Harley, and this is going to sound counterproductive, and I tell you this from experience, too, because I've had three dogs over my lifetime that were very sensitive to storms, and I know I didn't really do the right thing because I would just, you know, rush to them and cuddle them and all over them, and what I was actually doing was reinforcing to them that, yes, there was something really to be scared of.
Yeah.
And the best thing to do is to go about your business.
Act like it's normal, normal, normal. Right, right. Great advice.
Tell Harley, you know, that everything is safe, you know, nothing's happening, it's just a storm, and, you know, he's going to feel funny because he had that electrical sense. But everybody is safe and fine, and you want him to just, you know, go about his thing. And try that. It's going to take a while because if you've been cuddling and reinforcing that, it's going to take a while. And I'm not saying it will ever calm down, you know, but it can help by calming them down. There's also lots of things out there for animals that have issues with thunderstorms. There's little jackets
the thunder
and things
shirt.
That you can put
There's
on
a
them.
Thunder shirt. Yes, it kind of hugs the body. Have you heard that one? That's kind of new.
Yeah, I have, and I've used something like that, and I've had animals that have worked with, and other animals that not so much. So, you know, it really depends on the animal and how they respond. But the best thing that she can do is tell them that they're safe. Try to be matter of fact about it, but kind. And, you know, just let them sort of go through it and know that everything's going to be okay. I know it's so hard because my Pyrenees, the one that had the separation anxiety, I mean, he would just shiver. Now you've got a 100-pound dog shivering.
Well, I'm sure that Susan appreciates your advice, and I so appreciate everything that letting us work you out. And we had so many people that didn't get through, and so many things we wanted to talk about. And I'm going to talk about more about the farmsanctuary.org. Please go to it. I'll talk about that next time. So I'm going to ask you to close the show. I'm going to spell your name so people can look up online, and we're just going to have you come back for continuation. All right.
Thank you.
You can reach nice. Jackie Bobo.
I'm really appreciative that everybody has called in, because, you know, those were great questions and great analytical conditions.
And if they didn't get through, they can reach her at jacquileebeau.com. All right. And what's the phone number also that they could reach you at?
The number is 717-9-5289.
That's 717-968-5289. Jackie, thank you so much for being on the show today. I love your energy. Thank you. Thank you. And please, will you come back on the show again? And we'll take the rest of those calls next time you come on. All right. Well, thanks so much, friends, for being here. Much love. Bye.
You've been listening to Spirit Network Radio. For more information about the show, please visit spiritnetwork.com. For more information about your host, psychic medium Francine Milano, visit her website at francinemilano.com. Until next time, remember that peace begins with an open heart.